As we continue in worship, we have the opportunity to hear the word of the Lord read and proclaimed. We're continuing to be in the book of Romans. Today we find ourselves in the 10th chapter, verses 5 through 15. Hear these words. Moses writes concerning the righteousness that comes from the law that the person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that comes from faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will ascend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The Lord is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth and so is saved. The scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew or Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and is generous to all who call upon him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how are they to call on one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, we do indeed give you thanks for this time of worship. We thank you for the opportunity to be together as a community of faith in this place and in even streaming throughout the internet, that you join us together through your Holy Spirit as one body, as one people. God, I ask that you speak through me and inspire me this day that your word might be proclaimed and we might hear what you would have to say to us today. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen. So for the past few weeks, we've been looking here in the book of Romans. We started in the book, the eighth chapter, and looking at some of those different verses through the chapter of eighth chapter of Romans. And then last week we talked about the ninth chapter of Romans, and now we find ourselves in the 10th chapter. But just a quick recap, we know that Paul is writing to this community of Rome, and Paul is trying to help this community, broken community, understand how God is a God of redemption, restoration, and love, and that there's nothing that you can do or I can do or anyone can do to separate us from God's all-inclusive love that he has for him. In chapter 8, Paul said, if God is for us, who can be against us? Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, nor things present, nor the future, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of Christ Jesus our Lord. For Paul, belief in Jesus was foundational. And so Paul wrestles throughout the book of Romans with the law, describing it as somewhat of a barrier to salvation by faith, by being cumbersome to keep and nurturing a way of self-resilience instead of reliance on God. And so moving into chapter 10, Paul understands that the law given to Moses to help the people rectify this broken relationship between God and his people has instead led the people of Israel to seek to establish her own righteousness rather than God's. You see, in place of the 613 commandments that had been established to be practiced, is this commandment of Christ, simplified to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. All of these commandments into something that encompasses all of them. To love the Lord and to love your neighbor. You see, this is true for all people, Jew and Gentile. You see, only God, only grace can set us free and can release us from condemnation. And our belief in Christ is something that ought to unite us, not divide us, for we can affirm that despite whatever peripheral differences one might have with another, that we have a common set of beliefs that we hold together. The goodness of God, the saving work of Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Our belief in the one who was and is to come, Christ our Lord. And so Paul is reminding the people of their long history of God's love for them, even as they grapple with the trustworthiness of God. That the problem was that God's chosen people, the people to whom he had made such an incredible promise, the Jews had rejected Jesus as the Messiah. They had turned their backs on the very God who had chosen them. And as a result, many Christians had come to a conclusion that the Jews were no longer God's chosen people. They had rejected their election and were lost. And so that posed a troubling problem. And did that mean that God had broken God's promise with the Jews? Had God now turned his back on his own people? And if God had rejected the people who had formerly been his people, what assurance is there that the same thing wouldn't happen to them? I think Paul's heart, deep inside of him was this desire and prayer to God for the Israelites to come to know God's unconditional gift of love for them. For them to know they are not saved by works of righteousness or the law or some other way, but by belief in God's righteousness. Paul shares that Christ is the end of the law, so that there might be righteousness for everyone who believes. You see, what the law could not do, Christ did. And it's God's intent for all of God's people to be made manifest with Christ. And so when Paul contrasts faith and works, when Paul kind of contrasts that you know, you're not saved by works, but you're saved by faith, his goal was not for the people to stop doing things, to stop doing works, to stop being the hands and the feet of Christ, but to recognize that God has acted in and through Christ and to act accordingly. You see, the way we live out our relationship with Christ is often by being his hands and feet, by responding to his love in that way. Paul says that the word is near you, it's in your mouth, and it's on your heart. That is the message concerning the faith we proclaim. That if you dare with your mouth to say that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. In the life and the person and the work of Jesus, we discover the mighty power of grace and love that humanity is not capable of achieving on its own. That goodness, that grace of Christ, that love and supreme authority and power over all of creation. I love that the word is near. It's in your mouth and on your heart. If you remember back to the Gospel of John, it says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. From the very beginning, There was this closeness to God through Christ and the Word, near and within, in our hearts and on our lips. Those moments you don't know what to say, how to respond to some situation going on, know that Christ is near. Feel his presence on your lips and in your heart. We saw that through Jesus in the wilderness. The Word was near to him and within him, and he was able to stay focused and trust that God was with him in the midst of all the challenges and temptations that were coming his way. So often the evil one can seek to sow seeds of doubt, to undermine the trustworthiness of God by implying that somehow, some way, God is not able to fulfill God's promises. But we know that is not true. We know we serve a trustworthy God. We know we serve a God that's as close as the breath we breathe. We know we serve a God who loves us more than we could ever dream or imagine. And so to trust God is to embrace that belief and to live out our calling as his disciple. Paul says, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And when you add that affirmation that God raised Jesus from the dead, you're adding another dimension to your faith. That God is more powerful than even death itself. We declare that we are servants of grace, made part of a community of faith, of salvation, and that faith saves us, that faith in the resurrected Christ. And so do we believe that God's love is big enough, wide enough, deep enough to help one, each one of us overcome the hurt, the pain, the temptations of this world? Do we believe that God's love is with us in those moments that we are going through challenges in the brokenness of life? When we don't have the words to say, to know that God has never and will never let us down. May we take that belief, that knowledge, that testimony that has happened in our life, and may we do what it says kind of in verses 14 through 16. It says, but how are they to call on one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? Friends, as we come into this place this day, know that you, my brothers and sisters of the faith, are being sent. As we have been transformed, as we have experienced Christ's love, that we might be people who are sent into the world to proclaim Christ's love to those who would hear, to those who might come to believe. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Our joy as Christians is to share the faith so that each heart that yearns for God's grace and love may know it, and that each will come to believe in the one who saves each one of us. Not because of anything we do or have done, but because of what Christ has done for us. Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, we give you thanks for this time of worship. We give you thanks for the opportunity to gather together as a community of faith, to to know that we're not in this by ourselves, but that you surround us with people who love us, who walk with us, who encourage us, who might be that voice that we need to hear when we feel like we're by ourselves. We thank you for your presence and for your Holy Spirit that sends us out into the world, and not just sends us, but that walks with us. That your word is as near as the breath we breathe. And so be with us, guide us, and direct us in the paths that you would have us go. We pray all this in Christ's holy name. Amen.